Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I knew so you were awake. We just had to get it. I'd like for you this morning to be thinking a little bit with me. I've been looking a lot at the book of James the last while in my personal devotions. And wasn't expecting to really preach about the book of James, but I think we're going to be looking at quite a few things in the book of James in the next while. It's interesting how God takes us down a path that we really didn't expect to go. Thinking about the book of James, what the subject I have this morning, really, I didn't really think it fit it. When I sense God leading me this direction, I thought, well, it really doesn't fit with the book of James. But as I continued to study, I started understanding. Talking about the book of James for a bit this morning. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He's the author of the book of James. One of the things about James was that he didn't believe growing up. If you think about James and Jesus being half-brothers and living together, growing up together, seeing the things that Jesus did, you would think maybe he would believe. But there's a couple of verses in John 7 I'd like to read real quick here. It says, "And after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him," and that's his family here talking to him, says, "Depart hence," and they're talking here kind of in a sarcastic way, telling Jesus, "Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." It says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." So James was not a believer during this time. But I find it interesting as we continue to look into the book of James, we find that there was a place back in the Gospels, I guess, we find that there was a place where Jesus came and he showed himself to the 500. He showed himself to different ones after the resurrection. And then it specifically says that he showed himself to James. And there's a change that happened in James's life, because he met the one who died, was going to die for him, or who did die for him. James played a key role in the Jerusalem Council, which was a debate whether the non-Jewish believers had to do all the things that the Jewish believers did to be part of the Christian culture. He was part of that. He was probably the first New Testament book that was written. There's a debate there whether it's Galatians or James. But if you look back, it would look like this would have been the first book that was written. And there was some question, should this book be in the canon of Scripture? Because there's so much about works. But as we tie these together, we look at Romans and we look at Galatians, there's a beautiful balance that comes together. Not leaning completely to works, but there's a faith. And we're going to see that in James 2 as we go. We'll find out more about that. It also talks about James having written to the first verse there, having written to the 12 tribes, and we're not sure who that was. Other than there were 12 tribes thinking about the children of Israel, but also just thinking about the idea of there was persecution and there was a scattering of the people. Is this who James was talking to? That's what we think, but we're not sure. There's some other things that we're going to find as we go through James, different subjects we're hopefully going to touch on. Finding joy in the midst of trials. And I find as I look at the book of James, it's so practical. There's so many things in this book that fit into today, even though it was written all those many years ago, that fit into today. Finding joy in the midst of trials, hearing and doing, impartiality, faith that works, the struggles of the tongue, what is worldliness, wealth in the Christian, fervent prayer that works. Things that we want to look at as we continue looking at the book of James. Go to James chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. Could I have somebody bring me a glass of water, please? James 1, the first verse. And as I was reading this, there's something that it just seemed God put heavy on my heart. as I read through this. And that's why my direction this morning is turned towards servanthood. The call to being a servant. James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And we're going to stop. That's going to be our verse for today as far as the book of James goes. But it says, James, a servant of God. And I look back at the life that James lived with his half-brother. He didn't serve him during that time. But when he met Jesus for who he was, he chose to be his servant. The word servant here that we're thinking about is not an employee. We like to think today about maybe a servant being employee. I'm an employee of Jacob. I'm a servant of Jacob. No, we're not servants in this sense. The sense we have here, the word servant here, is talking about a slave. Somebody that willingly serves. We had communion here just not too long ago, last week I guess it was. And we had a little bit of a picture here that Sam talked about. Washing each other's feet as a sign of servanthood. And then living out in the congregation different ways to serve each other as servanthood. Jesus was a servant. He's the one that gave us the best picture of servanthood. Thank you, Minnow. Give me the heart of a servant, tender and faithful and true. Fill me with love. Use me, O Lord, so that the world can see you. To be a servant is to serve our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. I missed them. I'm on the wrong page. I'm sorry. No, I was correct. To be a servant is to serve our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not too long ago, I used the story of Zacchaeus. We're going to turn there again. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, we're going to go to verse 1. We're again going to use the story of Zacchaeus this morning. Most of us know the story by heart. But we're going to read the story, and we want to see what happens in here. Luke 19, verse 1. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And I probably don't have to explain this, but I will. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was not a good man. He was a man, from what we see, was one that, well, the tax collectors weren't that good. They normally stole. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Jesus was coming through. Zacchaeus had a desire to see him. So he ran out ahead and climbed up into a tree. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, those that were standing around there, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want us to think about Jesus walking along through Jericho at this point. He had all those people around him. He had so much that he could do just with the people right here. There's something I want us to notice as Jesus walked through Jericho. Jesus looked up. I was listening to a message the other day, and I heard a man say, in servanthood, we are never to look down. I think that's one of the things that is so easy for us to do. If I'm going to go talk to a brother or a sister, just talking to them, I like to consider myself just a little bit higher than them. So they have to look up to me. But servanthood is not that way. Servanthood is being on our knees in front of the brother or sister, washing their feet and looking up to them. That's true servanthood. True servanthood is not looking down on the people. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus. Jesus saw something. When I think about this, I have to think, what's Jesus see in me? Jesus saw Zacchaeus for the man who he was. Yes, he was a man that probably was not a good man. He could see that. You can look at me and you realize that I'm a man that has sin in my life from time to time. We don't habitually live in sin. But we struggle. And you can look at me and you know that's the kind of person that I am. I can look at you and I can probably say the exact same thing. Not that we don't have victory. Let's not go there because I believe we have victory. But Jesus saw beyond that. Jesus saw somebody in Zacchaeus that could be a man that would serve him. So many times I look at those around me and I have the idea they have a backpack on that's so full of garbage and junk that I don't even want to touch them. That's a shame, isn't it? On our part. Jesus could have looked at Zacchaeus and told him, yeah, I know exactly what you have. I can see into your heart. I can see into your life. But Jesus looked beyond that and he saw what Zacchaeus could be. Jesus didn't come. Yes, he came to be our king. But Matthew 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That is the best example I can give you here this morning of servanthood. Jesus came and gave his life for each one of us. He wants us to be a vessel that he can use to pour out his love to those around us. But Jesus took time to serve Zacchaeus. And you ask, how did Jesus serve Zacchaeus? Jesus took time. Jesus was busy. He had a place to go to. I get so busy. Let's admit the fact that we are all busy. We all have something that we want to do. And so many times we don't serve where we should serve because we are so busy. We just don't have the time. This week I was coming home from work, and I say this regretfully. I have some Amish guys that I bring with me. And they were riding with me, and I was on my way home from work, and there was a van sitting up in front of me on the left side of the road, and I could see steam coming out from under the hood. I can use the excuse that I was tired, and I was trying to stay awake. I can use the excuse I had Amish guys in the back. They needed to get home. And as I drove past, I realized that she was from one of the churches in Indiana, I believe. The Mennonite church is down there. And I went whipping right on past. And probably half a mile to a mile down the road, I thought, well, why didn't I stop? But I didn't turn around. I kept going. A little while later, I thought, what if that was my wife? And when I got home, I told my family what I did. I don't know who it was, but I did not sense the Spirit. I don't know who this was. But I should have been servant enough, taking the time to stop and to see who this was. Maybe she needed help. Anyhow, let's continue to go on. God wants us to be a vessel of service that He can use. I like to look at four necessities for service within the body of Christ. And Dana made a comment here a while back about unity in the body. And as I had began thinking about this, I rolled this around in my mind and I thought, you know, service, loving each other through service, is going to put us on a plane, I believe, on the way to unity. I almost hate to even talk about service because there is so much service that happens in our church here. Chad's here because they're serving in another country. But I'm talking about this morning. Sorry, Chad. That's an awesome thing to do. We have a whole list up here of people that are serving elsewhere. But I'm talking about us here, right here this morning. Everybody who attends here at Calvary Chapel here. Being of service to each other. How do I serve God? Somebody tell me, how do I serve God? By serving others. So I'm specifically speaking this morning to believers. Now we can point at Sheldon, we can point at Sam. Sheldon was a deacon, Sam is a deacon. Your job to serve. Yes, it is. Now we can point at the rest of the ministry team. Your job to serve, it is. But God has a place for all of us to serve. We are all called to serve. Turning your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 16 and verse 17. While you're turning there, I'm going to finish up on love. Talking about love is one of the necessities that we need for service within the body. There's a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 16 that says, watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. How about serving my brother? Do I have to serve that with love? Do I have to serve my brother with love? Or can I serve him and just kind of, you know, work my way through? One of the keys to true servanthood is love. I believe if we don't have love, many times the service is going to fall flat. What about serving out of obligation or serving out of desire? What if I have somebody come to my house and they say, I want to help you with something. I'd like to find something today that I could do to serve you. And I found out later on when they left, they were put up to it. It was an obligation. So now they could check it off of their list. How am I going to feel? It's not going to be a good feeling. But when somebody shows up because they have a desire to serve, regardless of who it is, they have a desire to serve, I'm going to have a totally different feeling, ain't I? I'm going to have the feeling of somebody loved me enough to come serve. Serve out of love. How painful it is when we have been served only to find out we were on their list of things to do. Things to get out of the way so they wouldn't have to be bothered again. Love. So important in our service. Quite a few years back, I bought a load of wood from a brother here in church. And they showed up at my door with this load of wood. And I told them, out there's a wood pile. Actually, I think I might have gone out, but I said, just dump it. And I'll stack it later. When Steve and his boys left, everything was stacked beautiful. You know how I felt? I felt like somebody cared. Steve and his boys had just served me, served our family. They didn't have to stack that wood, but they did because they cared. Thank you, Steve, and your boys. See, those things stick with us when we are served because somebody loves us. How about me serving my brother or sister because I have a love for them? First John 3:16 and 17. The second one we're going to look at in our necessity is being alert or being sensitive to my surroundings. We think about Jesus going along here. He didn't have to look up, but he was sensitive to what was going on. He was alert. He saw Zacchaeus up there in the tree, and he didn't look down and continue to go, but he stopped. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world good and seeth, catch that word there, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He saw. We are to stay alert and awake and look. How can I help my brother? How can I help my sister? How can I further them? Oh, but wait a minute, it's going to cost me. It probably will. But it's okay. God will repay. Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and he wanted to serve him. Zacchaeus was hanging up in a tree. We say hanging. He was up in a tree on a limb somewhere. And as I looked at this, I thought about where I'm at in my life. The people that I meet, the ones that I work with, those that I associate with outside of work. Are there people that are up in trees that I'm not looking up to serve? Are there people up in trees that I'm bypassing and they're wondering what's going on because nobody is helping? Maybe there's a void that they have within them, that we have the answer for through service. Being available is our next one we like to look at. Number three. In our service, we need to be available. Again, it's almost like repeating myself, and it is. But Jesus walking along here, he had plenty to do. He didn't have to stop. But he was available to bless Zacchaeus. Life is happening around us, isn't it? We've got so much going on. But if I'm going to be available, it's going to take something on my part. It's going to take me being willing to give up something about myself. I'll just give you a real simple example this morning. I love having my grass mowed real nice. I hate going through a weekend with tall grass. It is so easy for me to choose not to serve somebody else if my grass isn't mowed. That sounds simple and kind of dumb, doesn't it? But that's life. That's real life, isn't it? Am I willing to lay down something that I want to do in life for the sake of somebody else that needs help? And let me just put this out there. When we are called to serve, there's never a good time. Let's be honest. It seems there's always service, always comes at a time when there's something else that I want to do. But the blessing is in laying down my wants, my desires to serve the brotherhood. To those who are of the household of faith. Jesus had time for Zacchaeus for deep conversation. Look at what happened. As he conversed with him, there was a change. The household was saved. Does it mean every time that I go serve somebody there's going to be salvation? No. But maybe I'm pushing them just a little bit closer to the walk that they are to walk. The fourth one I like to look at is one that is extremely important. Zechariah 4:6 says this, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." How many times do I seek God? Do I seek the Spirit? In asking, who should I serve? How many times do I make decisions about service on my own? As I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, God's timing is perfect. His timing is never off. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, and this is a huge catch for us this morning, if I'm walking in the Spirit, if we are walking in the Spirit, we're going to have a fellowship with the Father. And we're going to be able to sense when He's speaking to us. If I'm walking in the Spirit, then I'm going to hear. And then I need to obey, not what I did the other day. I need to obey and listen. What if that would have taken me an hour longer the other day to stop and help that lady? It's an hour of blessing I missed. God has those blessings He wants to give to us. I confess, I didn't heed the Spirit to stop and help the lady. How does Jesus see me? How do I see those around me? Am I looking at those around me with the idea that maybe they don't have enough value for me to serve? Jesus is calling us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when serving. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." See, there's two sides going on here. Romans 8:16 says, "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children," the connection. Then there's another part of serving. And this is still under number four, but knowing when to serve, and we talked a little bit about heeding the Spirit. And I want to throw this out here to you mothers this morning. Mothers with children. I can understand sometimes you probably have the idea that, how do I serve? I can't leave my family. I can't go out there to serve somebody else. I can't go over to so-and-so's house to wash their windows. And I don't believe God's calling you to. You have a family you are to take care of. You've got children. That's your service. Does God open doors occasionally otherwise? Yes, I believe He does. But if you're serving your family, serve them with joy. You're fulfilling your calling. Now I want to talk to those of us that don't have the young children at home for a minute, thinking about service. And I want us to know that there's a place where we need to say no. That was a hard one for me to learn. Where we need to say no. Maybe there's something else that is more important. But this is where it comes into seeking the Spirit. Is this a place I say no? Or do I say yes and go? But that is very, very important. I can tell you of a family where the dad served. He was a minister. And he served well. But he lost his children. Not quite all of them, but by half of his children. Because he enjoyed serving. I'm not looking down on this man. I respect him highly. I believe he saw his neglect. But serving to the point where our family is neglected. I think it's a place we need to be very, very careful. Through wisdom, an house is builded. And by understanding, it is established. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of John 12, verse 23. If you will listen to these, maybe it'll make some sense. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And I was thinking this morning about this corn of wheat being as service. I have this morning here some corn with me. You farmers know probably how many kernels of corn are on some of these ears of corn. I've been learning a little bit about that, how many are normally on an ear of corn. But I'd like for us this morning to be thinking about two kernels here. I have a kernel right here, and I've got a kernel right here. Both of these kernels have the option of being in the grain bin, where it's nice, it's cozy, it's warm. Winter's coming. They can be in the grain bin with all the rest of the corn. And they can be just fine. Spring comes, they're still fine. But the option is given to these two kernels. You're welcome to stay. This guy says, "Okay, I'll stay. I will stick with the grain bin. I'm good with that." Or, "You're welcome for me to take you and bury you. You're welcome to let me use you in service." This guy says, "Okay, I love the warmth in here. But I'm willing to die if that's what it takes to serve my master." He tells him, "I'm going to bury you under the soil. It's going to get cold. It's going to be hot. It's going to be dry, moist. Are you willing?" This kernel says, "Yes, I'm willing." This one says, "No, I like it where I'm at." I think you know where I'm going this morning. This kernel is taken and he's buried. He disappears. And all of a sudden, something begins to happen. And a little green starts coming out of him. And before you know it, it's up above the ground. And when it gets to be harvest time, guess what we have? We've got a whole bunch more kernels of corn. Think about that corn as service. Somebody who is willing to serve. I don't believe you're going to have 500 to 600 people at the end of the year that have changed because of service. But I've been reminded the last while of what one person can do. One person. And it's so easy for us to point at somebody else and say, that's the person. But I believe God wants us to look within. We are that person. Each one of us sitting here this morning are that person. We can be that kernel of corn if we're willing to allow God to come in and to take us and to use us for His kingdom. But we've got to be willing for Him to break us. We've got to be willing to die. And then He can use us. And I want us to think about the fact we have all these kernels here. So what about the end of this year? We take all these kernels we have here, we bury them, and they're willing to serve. How many do we have the next year? I started putting some of this on paper and I just quit. I don't know the numbers that big. But think about one kernel. What God can do with one kernel if we are willing to be used and to serve. I'd like to read some out of Matthew, but I'd like for you to stand this morning as we read that. And just listen as I read some verses here. And as I read, I want you to take it to heart what we're reading here this morning. Matthew 25, verse 31 says this, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats." And you think, wow, Lynn, why are you going here? This is just a kernel of corn. But I want us to think about the fact, if we're willing to be used, God can use us. If we're not willing to be used, there's also a place for us to be if we are not used for the kingdom. If we're not willing to listen, or that's not the word I wanted, if we're not willing to give ourselves to the Father. "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's what I want to hear. That's what we all want to hear. "For I was an hunger, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. You served Me. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me." Then show the righteous answer. Listen to their answer. "Saying, Lord, when saw we Thee and hungered, or fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee?" And the King shall answer, say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, ye have done it unto Me." Unto Me. "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hunger, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Let's back up again to James. Thinking about the life of James, how he changed when he met the Master. How he was willing to be a servant, to serve, giving himself. James didn't die a beautiful death. James was taken. He was thrown off of a high place. I'm not sure, was it on the... he was thrown down from somewhere real high. And he didn't die. So they came with clubs and they beat him to death. James was willing to serve regardless of the cost. We have it pretty easy here today, don't we? We can serve and it doesn't really cost us that much. But there are brothers and sisters that are serving and it's costing their lives today. Let's think about that. What if that came our direction? Sounds this morning like I'm trying to put some fear. I'm not trying to do that. But I want us to realize that serving is so important because we love. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for Your service to us, Your love to us, giving Yourself. The best example, Lord, that we can ever have. Father, we're so weak. But if we're going to be strong, it's only going to be in you. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen us, to give us the power that you said we can have. Give us willing hearts, willing minds, Lord, to serve, even if it means laying down what I desire, even if it means death. Father, to be fruitful, I pray that you would help us to be willing to let go. Thank you so much for the service that does happen here. And I pray we would continue, Lord, to walk close to you. We bless you. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.